am thrilled today. I am so excited to introduce you to this person. She is someone I've known for many a year, and we've worked through on books together, and we've worked on her podcast together. And she has a beautiful podcast, and she helps people with mental health issues. And I even brought her in when I was struggling with my own then teenager. And she asks wonderful questions, and I just appreciate her so much. With no further ado, I welcome Lauren Polly.
Hello, thanks, Erica, for having me on.
Yeah, it amazes me how you're able to sort of like work during the day, but have this wonderful passion business that you just grow and evolve, and it's so beautiful. So tell us a little bit. Let's kind of carrot it. Let's start with the fun passion business stuff.
Fun passion business. So I run the mental wealth movement. That's with a W, not with an M. And it really looks at kind of the next frontier of mental health. So instead of kind of sticking to stability, we look at what's beyond stability. Where can you actually pick up your passions again and find a sense of authenticity? It's based on my own personal journey, which is chronicled in my award-winning book, The Other Side of Bipolar. And it kind of speaks to what I went through, where I got to a certain stage, and a stage most of us hit with a diagnosis, medication, or even just a general struggle, where you kind of get your feet under you have enough success. You feel like, okay, I've kind of got some stability. I'm just going to stay here and hold on to it, like, as hard as I possibly can. But with that, we end up getting so, with that, we get so tired because we're not actually living our authentic self. A lot of times we're masking over issues, we're still trying to fit in a lot. And then we have kind of like high level issues like control factors, perfectionism, people pleasing, ways that we learn to be okay or seen as okay that actually, they kind of give the guise of that, but they don't actually give the juice of living. So that's the zone I love to play in.
I think when you said there's a song that I remember from summer camp, and it was like, if I ever get my hands on a dollar bill again, I'm gonna hang on to it until that old eagle grins. I get that. It's like when we see like the flow of it, when there's this flow of it, when it flows, and when there's a bipolar, because now having a child that's in this, and I really do believe my dad was undiagnosed. Because he would be manic sometimes, and then he'd be like not manic, and he'd be like manic, and then like not manic. And that made him hard for people. I didn't have trouble around him, like it didn't bother me, but I think for other people, it was always pretty hard to understand him.
Yeah, I think too, when like there are a lot of people who don't have bipolar, so to speak, but they may have a high emotional wave. And they may have more of a breadth of what they experience and what they get impacted by in the world, right? So people who are sensitive, empathic, people who are very passionate, a lot of times there's a little bit more of an up and down. There's like an unevenness to them. And it's really hard because that makes a lot of people in your life uncomfortable. They don't know who they're going to meet that morning. And of course, to the extremes, it's much more severe. But I do feel like there's a lot of people who are somewhere on that spectrum. But again, the way we try to fix it is to try to find a middle ground and hold ourselves steady. And that takes a lot of extra effort just to live on one note, you know?
Yeah, I can't. While I have compassion for this, in fact, I remember being bothered because my mother was so steady. I wanted her to be more like me, I guess, or I wanted her to have more excitement or have more. You know what I'm saying? Like it was hard for me to see someone who had no highs.
Well, we're all so different. And I think that's the beauty that once we start looking at people's emotional regulation, so how people emotionally process their own feelings, but also how the world treats them, there's a great variance to it. And so not making it wrong, But also having this other side of the conversation, I like to call it look normal, think wild, where there's this beautiful dance where you get to have your authenticity, you get to have that wide breath. But there's also this point where you don't have to hold steady to the middle, but you can look wild or look normal when you need to. And sometimes that's a kindness. If you're someone who's got a big emotional bandwidth and you're a little all over the place and you're talking to someone like your mom who's more steady, you kind of have to find a bridge. And I feel like that's a skill set a lot of people don't have. Basically, how to meet people where they are to create something new.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about the Mental Wealth Project.
So it's my speaking engagements and my one-to-one work have really kind of gone into this area. And when my book came out, it's called The Other Side of Bipolar. So that's kind of what I was getting to, is beyond the diagnosis, beyond fixing yourself, what is there for you as an individual on your life journey? And then the mental wealth came up because really and truly what we're looking for is not just a healthy way of living in the world, but really a wealthy way, something where you actually have more capacities and more enjoyment in yourself. And there's so many people I've worked with since the book came out, especially who are successful. They've really moved to the other side of whatever struggle they've had, but they still don't feel like themselves. And they don't feel like they have a wealth of personal resources to succeed in life, beyond kind of your typical. So that's where I really love to work with the wealth component of going beyond what you think life just should look like to be okay. And really, how do you have something that's just lights you up every day?
I don't know why this question is popping into my head, but as always, I just go with it and roll with it. It seems that some of the people that enjoy my show do. It's not fear, it's the wrong word, but have an imposter syndrome thing where they're worried to say they are the expert, or they're worried to say they know something special. Do you see where they are special and they do know something special, but there's this like resistance in that place where they're not willing to kind of, and I don't want to be, I certainly respect it. I certainly get it. Right. But what can we say for people who are kind of learning about their own greatness, but keep kind of, you know what I mean? Like not allowing it.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people deal with that, especially entrepreneurs who are stepping into the spotlight. And you have to be aware, I think, of the landscape that we as entrepreneurs are in, where there's a big push towards lifestyle business. And with the lifestyle business, it's basically kind of pulling the curtain back and showing all sorts of stuff, right? So you kind of feel like you have to live the thing that you're promising your clients all the time. And I think that is kind of a stupid
It's
request that the
so
world has put in on us.
unrealistic. Oh my gosh. I have to be perfect. I have to have the perfect VAs. I have to do everything perfectly. I have to be seven figure. I have to, oh my gosh.
It's a lot. And even in your zone of genius, because like for me, I've had to really look at this because my zone of genius, what I love to talk about is this mental wealth. I still have ups and downs, but I have to know in myself and I have to be clear in communicating with my audience. That's normal. That's being human. That's being alive. And so I think sometimes the lifestyle business makes us go into imposter syndrome because we need to put a mask on to show up as that perfect
Right.
version.
Or
Meanwhile, you're
I look
fighting
at
against yourself.
Instagram. I look at Instagram and like, and my popular clients, and they're all blonde, and I just laugh. I'm like, I'll never be blonde. Like, nothing will ever make me blonde. Luckily, I can keep my hair dark. Like, the grays don't have. I started getting gray at 28, so I learned quickly. Yeah, no. I don't have to be gray, but it's funny. I think the social media puts so much pressure on people to show up. I love the word that you use, authenticity. Even though I feel like it gets used too much, I still think inside of that, when we podcast like from our heart, when we talk from our heart, we it kind of gives us permission to show up like with the warts.
Well, and I think, you really have to adopt the mindset. And this is just something that's kind of lodged in me. I've always been like this, where I think the The dark parts are actually beautiful. The warts are actually beautiful. It's kind of what makes you unique. And a lot of times when you learn to speak from that place and you're transparent about it, it actually really assists your business. So I feel like you really, if you're going through that right now, one thing I would maybe look at is, are you actually in alignment and resonant with what you're posting on social media, even your copy on your website? That may assist. And then look to see where maybe you're going to put yourself out there in a way where there's not really anything there. It's just you think you're supposed to. You know,
That is
I'm
such
supposed.
a that's such a trap. It's such a
It is a
trap.
trap. It is a trap. And I
And
run into it too because I'm very inconsistent, and you're supposed to be consistent for the algorithms to work. But at the same time, when I'm consistent, I'm like, it doesn't really feel like there's anything to say, but I guess I'm going to post something anyway. You know?
it's really funny because I do teach that you should be consistent, especially like with podcasting, but personally, I do something when I moved. And like, I've always been that way because I was a news reporter. So I write when there's news. Like, I don't write because it's Monday. It's like, it's Monday. I better write. Nah. Like, something just happened and it moved me and it changed me and it altered something and it did something to my consciousness and it moved me in a way that I need to share that. And so, but I at the same time, like I know people like consistency. So yeah, it's like capturing our aha moments in
And
a
then
way that our
also,
audience can like can get us,
and in
you
a
know.
practical way, is it that where sometimes you hire people to repurpose your content to make, you know, like I think there's an inspirational way to create content, because I'm very similar to you. When the iron strikes, I'm like, okay, this thing. And then I go through lulls where it's pretty quiet. But then what support do you need to draw in so that maybe you can be a little bit more consistent? And I think it's different for everybody. You really kind of have to know what's out there. And I really feel like experimenting is kind of the only way you're going to figure it out, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I love it. I am so glad you took the time to share you with our audience today, Lauren. It's just always such a thrill. You came on the last time when your book was coming out and it was just phenomenal. And that episode has been, I think it's been downloaded hundreds and hundreds of times. So it's just amazing that you took the time to come back today as you're on your new journey and running a whole floor of a hospital at the same time or something like that. So, how can people reach you and find out more?
Yep, easiest place is laurenpolly.com. It's got all my links up there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming.
Awesome. Thanks so much.